Well, hello, everyone. My name is Brandon James, and this is the podcast that has to do with everything automotive, business, and occasionally we're going to toss in some military stuff in there, too, because as you guys know, I am currently an active duty special operations combat medic. I've been in the military for almost 15 years. I get out next year, and I am so excited for that. Now, the topic of discussion today is going to be on the electric vehicle. The EV is probably, in my opinion, one of the biggest myths out there when it comes to this idea of green energy. Now, everyone thinks, if you don't like electric vehicles, you're not for the environment or, you know, whatever. That is so far from the case. I am very pro taking care of the environment, but you have to do things in a logical way. And that seems to have escaped the minds of so many people out there. It is absolutely insane, the stuff that we are witnessing right now. For example, I am very pro environmental when it comes, like, as you guys know, I'm producing an energy drink company called an energy drink called A-Bomb Energy. For the cans, I'm not using plastic labels because I'm like, that is a waste. That is not good for the environment. I'm going to use a material that you paint on there that is environmentally friendly. If you think I'm not for the environment, you are insane, because it is so much more expensive to do a paint-on label than it is to do a plastic shrink wrap. It's almost double the cost, but I don't care, because to me, there are certain things that you just have to do to take care of the environment. You got to recycle. You got to do things like with your old engine oil. I take my old engine oil. I get it recycled. I use it for other purposes. So this idea out there that, you know, electric vehicles, they're green. Are you crazy? Have you looked at how these things are produced? Like, look, I understand there are some advantages to electric vehicles. You know, it's going to produce obviously less emissions in the present state. You know, if you're in a city like Los Angeles, New York, Paris, Germany, you know, somewhere in a city. Yes. Okay. Of course, it's going to produce less because there's nothing coming from the tailpipe because it doesn't have one. However, look at the manufacturing process of an electric vehicle. That will blow your mind. You know, there's a certain group of people out there that seem to be against things like slavery, as we all should be. But if you look at how these batteries are made for an electric vehicle, it's slave labor. If you look at how these, you know, a lot of these electric vehicles that are produced outside of the United States, how they're made, it's slave labor. So the rhetoric coming from the other side, or one side, I should say, doesn't match the logic of what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to care about people. We're supposed to care about the environment. We're not supposed to do, you know, wasteful things, but the production costs and the production process of an electric vehicle is highly wasteful. So for example, if you want to get lithium, cobalt, you know, the components inside of the battery, you need to mine these things. And where a good chunk of these mines are in Central Africa. And if you look who's working in these mines, it's kids, and they're usually working shoulder to shoulder. They're making no money. You know, it's men, women, and children, predominantly children, young males, that are working in these mines. And then who, by the way, owns the mines? Oh, China. China owns the mines. They technically don't own the mines. Legally, they don't own them. But what they do is they will have these kids go out there. You know, they blast the mines, they drill the Chinese blast the mines, they dig the holes in the ground, they create the tailings and all that stuff. They then have the kids go in there, they pick the minerals out, usually by hand. They then gather all the materials up, they take it to a Chinese vendor who then buys the materials, like whether it's cobalt, nickel, lithium, anything like that. And then they buy it at an insanely reduced cost. And then these Chinese manufacturers then send it out to China, because China is one of the number one producers of electric vehicles right now. And I think you guys know the next video that I'm going to be making is on Chinese electric vehicles. I have a lot to say about that, and it's probably going to piss off a lot of people in the automotive community. But just understand, I'm coming from a special operations background. I don't view China as an ally, by the way. I view them as an adversary, because they've written multiple books on how to destroy the United States. So just kind of tossing that out there. I'm not saying we need to just completely isolate them, but you have to understand who you're working with, and you got to understand your operational environment, and that seems to be lost with some people. They just see cheap price, let's do it, and that is not forward thinking. That is what I call smooth brain activity, because you're not looking at the second, third order effects. This is predominantly for the United States, though. If you're in a country like Chile or Peru or Costa Rica or somewhere in Africa and you're pretty much reliant on the Chinese, I feel for you. I understand why you are doing that. But for the United States, no, man, there's so much more at risk than people realize. And so I hope with that video, I'm going to show people the actual reality of the situation. Now, kind of getting back to the production of an electric vehicle. If you look at how much carbon is used, coal, gasoline, diesel fuel, all these fossil fuels that are used to just create the battery, that in itself is close enough to the lifespan of an internal combustion engine vehicle. That doesn't even account for the fact that now you have to charge that thing. So you look at a state like California, for example. They created a law or a regulation that said by 2035, or I believe it was 2030, that no more internal combustion vehicles will be sold. It will be electric vehicle only. Yet the power grid in California cannot sustain that. I think it was like 2 or 3 months after they made that mandate, they had to start telling people to stop charging their electric vehicles, and they're having to start do brownouts in certain areas. That right there already proves that the infrastructure is not set up to sustain long-term electric vehicle usage. And let me just say this from the get. I'm not totally anti-EV. Not totally. I'm not. My thing is I'm against what they stand for right now and the rhetoric that's being pushed out with electric vehicles. They do have a purpose, but in my opinion, an EV is a niche thing. It's not meant for mass adoption yet. I don't even think we are remotely close for mass adoption of EVs yet. And we're trying to rush something to the market that's just not ready and that's ultimately going to have a greater environmental impact on the environment, because you mass produce millions and millions and millions of these electric vehicles. What are you going to do with the batteries whenever nobody buys the vehicle, or the battery goes bad, or the engine, something, you know, the electric motor decides to give out? What are you going to do with all this this wiring? And if you look at the wiring that goes in an electric vehicle, it is crazy how much wiring that goes in there. When Ford was making their Mach-E, they didn't understand exactly how much wiring it was going to require. And it blew a lot of the engineers away because they weren't accounting for it in the financial department. So people just don't understand the second and third order effects of what this is going to do and what actually goes into making an EV. And it's not environmentally friendly. It might be emissions friendly for where it's being used, but in reality, it's not. Now, the other thing, too, is, you know, people say, oh, well, electric cars, the maintenance is less because you don't have oil changes. That's not true. That's not true. Number one, there's actually oil in electric vehicles. So get that out of your head. And then, you know, there's coolant. There's things like that. There are fossil fuel components within an electric vehicle. Oh, by the way, it's made entirely by fossil fuels. So let's get that correct. But there's a more complicated design with an electric vehicle. There's a heavier reliance on these, you know, semiconductors and everything that's involved with producing an electric vehicle. And the semiconductor production is crazy. It's crazy. It's the amount of work it takes to get that made is 10 times, if not more, than what it takes to build a internal combustion vehicle. Then we're also having to look at the software development side of that. It's incredibly difficult. How many times do you have issues with your computer, your phone, or anything like that? Now throw that into a gigantic vehicle. Then let's also account for the radiation factor that these things are putting out. There's a reason why everyone that has a brain and that have studied this stuff with cell phones, they say don't put the cell phone to your face. Don't put it to your ear whenever you're talking on the phone. Use some sort of headphone when you're talking, because there's an EMF radiation that goes out with your cell phone. It actually, so when it's idle, it's fine. It's not producing that much radiation. But whenever it starts connecting to a tower and it starts being used, now all of a sudden a boost in radiation goes up. Now you're going to be in a vehicle that you're surrounded by it. That's just a thought. There hasn't been a lot of studies on that. But however, that's just using some critical thinking, some deductive reasoning and stuff. You got to think about these things. Now cancer rates are probably going to start spiking. There's a lot that goes with it. So I'm not anti-EV, but let's be sensible about this and let's kind of start telling the truth when it comes to these things and not sitting here holding hands, singing Kumbaya and saying these things are the best thing ever. Mother Gaia loves them. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Let's just quit the nonsense here. The other thing, too, that we have to consider with EVs. Okay, and I know people are like, oh, this is an EV rant. Well, yeah, a little bit, because I'm tired of seeing the EV rhetoric that's coming out. Okay, I am a car guy. I like internal combustion. I also like, to a certain level, electric vehicles. But why does it have to be one or the other? Why? Why can't it be, you know, hey, let's have both. Why can't we have both? You know, and let the market decide, because, you know, a lot of things that people don't seem to talk about is, if electric vehicles were so awesome and they were just so great and Mother Gaia has endorsed them, why do you need subsidies to get them to sell? Why? Oh, because the market doesn't want it. It's a niche thing. It's crazy to me. You know, and some more downsides here to electric vehicles. What happens when it gets cold to a battery? Oh, that's right. The range goes down significantly. There's a lot of things that go with this. You know, the battery's not going to last forever, by the way. You know, you can get a well-built internal combustion engine to last 300,000-400,000 miles. You can do that. It's totally doable. A battery, an EV? No, that's not going to happen. Right now, it's looking like, I follow a lot of EV guys online because the whole topic kind of fascinates me. Right now, it's looking like if you want to get an EV and you want the battery, at least with Tesla, I can't speak for BYD or Chery or these other brands out there, but at least with Tesla, once it gets to about 200,000 miles, the battery, you're going to get about half, probably less than half of the range is what we're looking at. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some anecdotal stuff out there where it's like, well, my Tesla has 500 billion miles and I still get 90% charge and range. All right. Okay. I get it. But from the data that I'm seeing and a lot of the videos that I'm watching online, that's what it's looking like. Now, the other thing that we have to consider here, too, is when it comes to this CO2 production, this emissions BS that seems to be just shoved down our throat all the time, there's a North Carolina State University study that showed the United States full of electric cars powered by EVs, or the entire United States, if it was powered by EVs, makes zero environmental difference between an internal combustion and a electric vehicle. Because a lot of people just see the electric vehicle, they see, oh, well, you know what, I'm plugging my electric vehicle into the grid, and yeah, I know I have a coal plant right up the road, but you know what? I have clean energy. That's not true. There's a lot of things that go into the production of it. The rare mineral earth mining, the energy that it consumes over its lifetime, production costs, all this stuff that goes into it. That it's just, again, it's these second and third order effects that people are just not looking at. You know, the electric vehicles are not green by any stretch of the imagination. You know, even just like water usage. You know, just to produce the battery, it's like 50% more water usage than it takes to produce a internal combustion vehicle. Now, what are you going to do with that water? Is it contaminated? Well, I don't know. I'm not an engineer, but I'll tell you what, a lot of engineers out there are saying once that water touches the battery materials, it's kind of done at that point, and you need to let time work its area. Sure, you could do wastewater treatment. You can do a lot of the stuff, but there's still going to be those trace minerals that are going to be inside that water. So it's like, how long is it actually good for? And I don't know. These are a lot of things you have to consider here and a lot of things people keep forgetting. You know, I knew a guy, you know, obviously I'm in the military still, but I knew a guy in the military. He would always say like, well, you know, I really don't think that people should be driving internal combustion vehicles. That should just be police and military. They're the only ones who should have internal combustion. Everyone else should be forced to drive electric vehicles. And I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, bro, you work for the military. You do understand how we work. Anyone who's ever been in the military or works for the government understands it's not exactly the most efficient machine. It could be, by the way. The military and the government could be highly efficient. And I'm not speaking out against the government, obviously, but it could be a very efficient, well-oiled machine. But there's layers of bureaucracy. There's layers that go involved with it that really hinders the performance. it's quite sad to see. There's also a control factor you have to think about. You look at China, for example. I think a lot of people are ignoring China and other countries that are very EV dominant. A lot of these countries that are EV dominant also have very despotic types of government. And if you look at China, they're probably the prime example. They control their citizens almost to the point where when they want to go use the bathroom, they have to ask permission from daddy government. Do you really want that level of control with your vehicle? A government that has so much control over you, you want them to be able to get into your vehicle and control your vehicle. You know what? Hey, you know what? Like, let's say I'm the government. You know what, Johnny? You've been doing too much driving today. We're going to go ahead and cut your range enough to where you can get home. So go ahead and turn around wherever you're going. Stop, turn around, go back home. You've done just too much today and you're harming the environment too much. We're going to go and unplug you. It's things like that people don't get. And, you know, I'm going to cover this in the Chinese EV video, but here's another aspect people don't consider. Let's say everyone in your neighborhood, let's just say, you know what, we get so big on this electric vehicle stuff and everyone in your town pretty much has an electric vehicle. Most people know that electricity at night, usually from the hours between midnight and, you know, 4 or 5 a.m., those are the cheapest hours for electricity. Most people plug in their electric vehicles around that time, or they plug it in right when they get home, but they have it programmed to turn on at midnight. Or 1 a.m. or wherever it is, depending on where you're at, what the cheapest hours of electricity are. Imagine it comes, let's say 10 o'clock at night. Everyone at that point has their electric vehicles plugged in. If I was a non-state actor, even a state actor, and I wanted to decimate the critical infrastructure, the power grid of that area, I would just hack into all those electric chargers and turn them all on at once, even ones that aren't being used. Turn them on so it draws electricity and shuts the power down. That's a method of attack people don't consider. You also have to consider, too, let's say you bring a Chinese vehicle over and you plug it into the power grid. Let's say there's malware installed onto that electric vehicle. Now all you have to do, you just now, knowingly or unknowingly, you just allowed that malware to now be sent through the grid. People think, well, that's just not great. That's just not possible. It's just power lines. That's not true. There's a reason why power stations and energy companies are able to monitor the output of electricity going to your home. There are certain connectivity levels that we are just completely unaware of. So now you've just allowed a non-state actor to plug directly into your grid, and our grid is already unstable as hell. Nobody realizes this, but the power grid in the United States is probably one of the weakest points. And this is all, you know, open source intelligence. This isn't anything like, you know, secret or anything. There's websites dedicated to this. But if you wanted to take down the entire United States power grid, those substations, those power stations, you only need to take out about 7 to 9 of them. And they're listed online which power stations you need to take out. And you could completely destroy the entire United States power grid. Imagine flooding now the United States power grid with millions of electric vehicles and then shutting down the power. Now you have a problem. Now you have a massive problem. How are vehicles going to get to and from? How are truckers going to deliver food and supplies? People don't think about this stuff. You know, they live in this kumbaya fantasy land where they think that everything is going to be hunky-dory and it won't happen here, bro. You know, I see overseas that, you know, countries are being attacked and, you know, people are starving and dying. But you know what? That's not going to happen here. You have to think about these things. The world we live in right now is incredibly dangerous. It is one of the most dangerous times to be alive. It's also one of the most exciting times, but it is easily one of the most dangerous times to be in. Having an electric vehicle dominant society, you are asking for trouble. What the heck is an EMP? All you have to do is, let's say you're a non-state actor. Let's say you hate the United States. Let's say you're Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, you know, any country that has capabilities of nuclear, or, you know, it could be a black market nuclear weapon. All you have to do is, I think it's over Kansas, explode a small nuclear device over Kansas, have it subatmospheric and explode that nuclear device, and that hits the entire United States with an EMP. It can completely decimate most of the entire United States with just an EMP blast. Oh, but we all have electric vehicles. Well, guess what? Your EV's done at that point. You know, they say, well, that can happen too with internal combustion because, you know, internal combustion has a computer. Not all of them. Not all of them, dog. And you know what? There's a lot of ways that you can counter an EMP blast with an internal combustion vehicle. You can do Faraday cloths, which are cheap. You can do a 12-volt adapter that goes into your cigarette lighter port, or 12-volt port now, I think is what they're called. That's like $50. You can attach a thing to your battery. I think that thing's like $50, and that'll protect you from an EMP blast. All it has is ferrites on the end of it, and the ferrite will absorb the EMP blast. If you're not sure what a ferrite is, look at like a power cable or something like that, and you see that ball that's around it at the end, that tubular design, that gigantic tubular design, that is a ferrite. And that's all essentially is what you're going to put on your battery or inside your 12-volt cigarette lighter port. Now you can protect your vehicle from an EMP. These are things that are not considered at all. I'm tired of hearing the EV stuff is green. It's not. Do I want an electric vehicle? I wouldn't mind having one. I've driven them in the past. I got to say, I'm not a fan. It didn't really do much for me. I actually got kind of nauseous driving it, but I think I could get used to it. But let's just cut the crap. Let's be real. Stop this whole left versus right BS, okay? This is reality when it comes to an electric vehicle. We have to be smart about it, okay? Complete implementation, complete, you know, anything complete where it's like, I'm only going to do this. Like with dieting, we call them elimination diets, where it's like, you know what? I'm going to just stop carbs all the way. I'm never going to eat a carb ever again. Okay, dude, you do realize that is probably one of the dumbest things you can do for athletic performance. Okay, I know there's going to be like, well, I was on ketogenic and I was performing excellent athletically. Okay, for 99.9% of the population, complex carbs and glucose is going to be what they need. Okay, you know what? You're in that 0.1%. Congratulations, you're in that 0.1%. Okay, anything where you have to do some sort of elimination generally is not a good idea. That's why moderation is always key in certain things. Okay, that's about all I have for you guys with the electric vehicle stuff. Just understand, they're not green. Let's cut the crap, okay? I like them to a certain extent, but let's just cut it, man. It's getting old. It's getting tiring. I'm tired of seeing this stuff. You know, if you really want to have an electric vehicle, have everything powered, you know, by Mother Gaia, have her come down, maybe fondle your balls or something like that, and while you're making the vehicle. But other than that, that's all I got for you guys. I really appreciate everyone listening. I really do. I know this is kind of an aggressive podcast. Guess what? I'm an aggressive dude. I'm a very aggressive dude. I am actually motivated by dark energy. So whenever, and what I mean by dark energy is when somebody doubts me, or whenever I get some crazy stuff people say online or even in person, you know what? That just fuels me even more. I had a guy the other day ask me about my energy drink company. And he's like, what are you, like, brewing it in your garage? And I wanted to slap that motherfucker so hard in the face. I'm like, what the hell do you... Yeah, I'm brewing it in my garage. I'm selling it. Thanks, bud. Because you know what you just did? All you did was just motivate me even more. Because you know what? While you are sitting there with your smug-ass smile, I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be making an awesome energy drink that people are going to consume. You're probably going to like it, and you're going to buy me, and so thanks for paying me. That's my dark energy. I love it when people doubt me. It's one of the best things people can do for you. Doubt you and tell you right to your face. Or make these little smart-ass comments to your face. It's one of the best things that's going to happen to you. Because it just feels so nice whenever you prove them wrong and you shove it right in their face. I call it controlled rage. That's essentially how I'm motivated. It's a very controlled rage. So I am all in favor of that. So anyways, I appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for watching the show. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can hit me up below. Appreciate it. Bye.